Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, soon to be Liberty State, Spokane Valley. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And by the way, that kind of polarization is correct. That's actually what we're called to for, as Christians, right and wrong. You need to remember, too, our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. That we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action, as Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 says. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Socialism. And exposing the left, as I promised, there will be continuation of our Exposing the Left series. And it's important that you educate your friends and family on these things. You know, P. Jowell's connection to the Communist Party USA and to Council of American Islamic Relations, which was a member of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian Committee, according to the Holy Land Foundation trial findings. It's important that you educate people on what these organizations actually are. So when you see protests, okay, and you see a bunch of liberal garbage spewed in the media against a particular individual, could be a politician, could be a community leader, could be a pastor, whatever the case may be, when you see this happen and you know the organization behind it, you also not only know the motivation, but you know that these organizations are, in most cases, not representative of our values. And so I want to be really clear about that up front, that we've got to educate so people know what's happening. So this city council meeting tonight, for example, in Spokane Valley, the socialists are turning out en masse. And I'm talking indivisible. These are self-admitted socialists, okay? But one of their member, I think it's worth talking about. I think it is worth talking about this individual, Jim Castrolang. He was the elected chair, paid executive director, and acting treasurer for the Democrat Party. And now that their party is essentially non-functional in Spokane County. They are organizing through Indivisible and these other organizations like PJALS, Peace, Justice, Action League of Spokane. Not just as part of the Lisa Brown campaign, but also in an attempt to destroy true conservatives in Spokane County. Now, for those of you in other counties around the state, pay attention to this because it's coming to your county. Okay? And when you start seeing these hallmarks and red flags, you'll recognize it happening. One of the things that they do is they will go in and they will pick the true conservative leaders in an area, the ones that are the proven true Christian constitutionalist conservative leaders, okay? And they will attack them viciously. It doesn't matter if what they put out is true. They don't care about that. They just want to smear, destroy. And also, they want to throw into disarray the organizations that are preserving the Constitution of the United States and the values, traditions, culture, heritage, and beliefs that we hold dear, okay? They do it in many different ways, but one of the recent ways that they're doing it is through saying that everybody out there must be a racist, must be a white nationalist, must be a fascist. Okay, that's how they say it. They don't even understand the definition of the word fascism, because fascism is actually a leftist economic system, okay? where the state controls part of the economy. They don't even understand that. They can't talk on that kind of an intelligent level. They don't understand that national socialism is a leftist economic system. Okay, they don't get that stuff, all right? But what you're seeing now is, and by the way, anybody who goes out there, this is very important. If you see anybody go out and smear another person, okay, smear another person and say that they must be a racist, a white nationalist, they must be a fascist, okay, that person is intentionally a socialist, part of the left, or they're one of the useful idiots that's being used in that way. Most of the time you will hear them, it's a very scripted smear, and they are intentional socialists. They are colluding with the progressives. You know, I mean, we talk about Russian collusion. I want to stop real quick. We talk about Russian collusion. When you have somebody bring in a leader of the Communist Party USA, an organization, bring in to Spokane a leader of the Communist Party USA, okay, that is Russian collusion, because the Communist Party USA is a known subversive organization with known ties to former Soviet, now Russian intelligence. You want to talk about real Russian collusion, okay? That's what it is. And this goes back to what I've been talking about on the show before with Vox Day's three rules of social justice warriors. Number one, social justice warriors always lie. Number two, they always double down on the lie. And number three, they always project. In other words, they put onto you how they actually are themselves, okay? So they start accusing people of things. That's actually how they are themselves, okay? So anti-fascism, the anti-fascists, the Antifa, they try to project onto somebody else that they're, you know, somebody's a fascist. They actually are advocating the most fascist-type system, economic system that's out there. Okay, you follow how this works. All right, very important to understand that, okay? So when you hear somebody out there doing this, you know they're in bed with people that hate the Constitution of the United States, that want to see our economic system completely destroyed and turned into a socialist system. They want to see good Christian constitutional conservatives run out of office, okay? So understand that. So that brings us now to Jim Castrolang. Tonight they're going to do a protest against Mayor Rod Higgins in Spokane Valley. This has nothing to do with equality. It has nothing to do with the Constitution. What it has to do with is the politics in an election year to try to smear good constitutional conservatives, okay? And one of the people that's leading the charge here, again, is Jim Castrolang. As in Fidel Castro, by the way. Castrolang, okay? Now, Jim Castrolang, and this comes to us from We the Governed, okay? Again, was elected chair, paid executive director, and acting treasurer of the Spokane Democrat Party, okay? A complaint was filed against him alleging that he falsified C4 expenditure reports to hide Spokane County Democrat Central Committee payments of at least $17,000 to himself, that he failed to accurately report large donations and attempted to hide large donations, and attempted to disguise and hide over-limit donations from the PDC, that he illegally borrowed funds from unregistered political committees, that he failed to file his C3 forms, that he failed to file his C4 forms in a timely fashion. And that, here's the key one, that he knowingly filed with willful malice at least 208 forged documents with the Public Disclosure Commission. Now, this is the guy who's leading the rally tonight, okay? And so, as we continue to expose the left, you have somebody who has all of these accusations against them and pretends to be a pastor leading this rally tonight because they want justice. Well, it's not about justice. It can't be. I mean, look at this guy's, and that's just the start of it. Okay, there's more. Okay, a lot more actually. So understand what's happening and educate your friends and family on this so they know these organizations are intentionally doing this to destroy conservatives. They're doing it as part of an intentional plan. It has nothing to do with what they're trying to say in the media. It has everything to do with this, okay? They also, when they do these, you know, recently they smeared Marble, Washington. That's the site of the God and Country celebration every year. And during this whole smear, they failed to mention that there are they tried to paint Marble as a white nationalist kind of conclave in Northeast Washington. What they failed to mention is one black pastor, okay, one black reverend actually live on Marble. They also forgot to mention that three members of an American Indian tribe also live on Marble. Okay, they push that aside because their agenda, it doesn't fit the narrative. And then they try to smear every person in Marble, Washington. And so, as you're watching this is what happened to Donald Trump now happening at the local level, okay? The Peter Strzoks of the world, okay, the swamp creatures, are here in Spokane, Washington, okay? And they are using, in some cases, governmental structures to do these political hits, okay? And so you have literally what happened at the national level, a microcosm here at the local level now occurring, okay? They're accusing Trump of being racist. Now they're accusing everybody locally of being racist. They accuse Trump of colluding with foreign governments. They try to make that implication here at the local level. They accuse Trump of hating immigrants. They try to make that, you know, despite the fact some of us, like myself, are married to one, okay? They don't care about the facts. They care about smearing. And they accuse Trump at the national level of trying to promote gun violence. And then they come down here at the local level and try to do it. Okay, so as we get closer to the election, they're going to follow a pattern, okay? And they're going to pick individual people and follow this pattern. And so as you hear the pattern, you know that they're following exactly what I'm about to tell you. In Vox Dei, in his book on social justice warriors, and you can download it on the internet, I think, for free. Vox Dei laid this out, their targeting sequence, okay? So here's what they do. Here's their targeting sequence. The social justice warriors will attack a statement or action by the person, okay? Then they wait and they try to pressure the target to apologize. And that target then hopes that that's going to resolve the situation with an apology. But the apology is never deemed to be sufficient. Ever. And so they actually increase social pressure after the person apologizes because that publicly is an admission of guilt. And then they force that person to resign. Here is kind of the rough 8-step stages, okay? They locate or create a violation of their social justice narrative. They point and shriek at the person. Then they isolate and swarm the person. Then they press for that person to surrender. Then they appeal to some authority to do something about this. Then they have essentially a trial by media. Then they get that person to resign, and then they have a victory parade. Now, here are some key lessons out of that, okay? First of all, stick together as conservatives, Christians, and constitutionalists. Second, when they try to press somebody to resign, they shouldn't resign. Okay? When they're trying to do this stuff, because they're gonna try to go after our mayor and make him resign. Okay? That's what they're gonna do. So when you start hearing this, that's what they're doing. Okay? It follows a very specific pattern. Part of it comes out of the Rules for Radicals. This is communist political doctrine, okay, that they're following. All right? So now you've heard it here first. Educate your friends and neighbors. You can get this on podcast, replay it so you can write all of them down. And then when you see it, you can point it out to everybody, okay? All right, moving quickly now to the intelligence briefing on the international front. Israel, their cabinet deciding not to take significant military action against Hamas. So it looks like things are calming down a little bit there. Venezuela, 1,000,000% inflation. Their solution is now to remove the zeros. Instead, and on a more positive note, Hungary and their anti-communist Christians coming to the fore and now creating an alliance among several European states over there to fight against this push by the European Union to essentially break down all borders for them and take away their national sovereignty. On the national front, Alex Jones and InfoWars banned by even more social media outlets. And folks, you may not like Alex Jones, but the fact of the matter is they come for him, they're going to come for me and you. Okay, that's what they're going to do. So we have an alternative. Check out Gab AI. Also check out Real.Video. That's an alternative to YouTube. 300 accounts are being added a day there right now. Everybody's moving to it. And then last but not least, local activists. It's going to become public here, I think, in September. We're beta testing it right now. It's phenomenal functionality. I think you're going to really love it. All right. Also on the national front, the Muslim Brotherhood, a training camp, no joke, in New Mexico, where this father of a New Mexico family was training children to carry out school shootings on his New Mexico compound. And reportedly, left-wing Islamic activist Linda Sarsour, and you've probably heard that name nationally, has ties to this guy. Okay? So here we have, again, a link to the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States of America through some of these people and organizations. And this does two things. First of all, it confirms, yes, there are Islamic compounds in America that are training for terror, number one. Number two, that these are not just lone wolves, that there is coordination, okay? So check that article out. I posted it up on Facebook. All right, also, Antifa threatening the president of the United States of America, saying, quote, "I would murder him for the people," end quote. Secret Service is now investigating. But man, if this was the Tea Party that said something like that, I mean, what do you think would have happened? Gracious. All right. Also on the national front, a brave new world, lab grown meat. It's disgusting. I mean, this stuff is not real meat and it like grows on its own in the lab. It's gross. And they want to use it now for hamburgers. All right. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to be pushing for there to be labeling of this stuff, because I think you probably want to know if you're eating something like that. Also, they're pushing for the 5G network nationally. It looks like the way things are being set up, that communities, cities, counties could opt out of this. And I think the discussion needs to start. Also, on the regional front, this is very interesting. The acquitted Bundy defendants now are suing for $60 million in damages. Larry Klayman announced the filing of this suit. Filing the suit against the federal prosecutors involved, the FBI, and the Bureau of Land Management, among others. So we're going to keep our eye on how that progresses, because it'd be interesting, the discovery phase of that. All right. On the local front, coming up, Liberty or Death Rally this weekend, August 18th, 11:30, Franklin Park. Look forward to seeing all of you there. There are two rallies. There's going to be one here in Spokane and one in Seattle at the same time. So I hope that y'all can make it. And lastly, a taste of what's to come, a great community event coming up near Colville. I'm going to get the details here shortly, but it's coming up here in September. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has visited Patriot Radio US. Like the page, share it with your friends and family, and then check out our new channel that we're going to be putting up on Real Video. It'll be under Matt Shea. But if you don't know where Real Video is, go check it out and get your invite in now, because they're getting swamped. Also, remember, this is a listener-supported show. You can go to VoteShea.com, S-H-E-A.com, and we're on iTunes and Podbean. All right, my guest today is one of my favorite people in the entire world, somebody that has so much passion and energy, and somebody that has been on the show a few times before on an issue that I think is, should be near and dear to everybody's heart, and that is vaccine freedom. Dale Bigtree, welcome once again.
Matt, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, producer of the movie Vaxxed, what's new? What new information do you have you can share with the listeners that's coming out to prove the case that indeed there is a problem with this huge vaccine scheme we have in America?
Matt, you don't have enough time for me to talk about all the things that are going on. But I think the biggest one, honestly, is if people have been on social media looking this at all, I have a nonprofit called the Informed Consent Action Network that I developed after making the film Vaxxed and meeting all these parents across the country with injured children and recognizing what a serious problem this was. It was far bigger than anything I imagined when I left my career in television to make the film. I didn't realize how big an issue this really was. So I started a nonprofit. I have a legal team as a part of that, and we sued Health and Human Services. And the reason we sued was, you know, a lot of people don't recognize that we took liability away from the vaccine makers. And I want people to really wrap your head around this. It's the only product in America that you cannot sue when the product injures you or your children. This is a first. It happened in 1986. And what was going on at that time, there were so many lawsuits against vaccines. And specifically, they had a new vaccine, the DTP, the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, that was causing so many brain injuries and death to children that they were under a flood of lawsuits. And so they essentially reached the point where the pharmaceutical industry came to a point where they said, we are not able to make any money on vaccines because we are paying out so much in lawsuits. That's how bad this product was. So they blackmailed our government. They blackmailed Ronald Reagan and said, look it, you either protect us from liability from these lawsuits as in some sort of government law regulation, or we're going to stop making all vaccines, period, leaving you, you know, hanging. And so Ronald Reagan was very reticent. It almost didn't pass. The Congress saw the dangers in taking liability away from the pharmaceutical industry. These are the people that brought us the current OxyContin, you know, opioid epidemic. They brought us Vioxx and Fen-Phen and all these drugs through the years that they've lied about. They knew it killed and injured people, and they lie all the time. So that wasn't lost on Ronald Reagan. It wasn't lost on our Congress. And so they said, okay, we do want vaccines, and since you are threatening us, we will take on the liability. We're going to take all liability. So you cannot sue a drug maker for a vaccine. You can sue them for drugs, but not for vaccines. And we will take on the lawsuits. We will develop basically a kangaroo court where taxpayers pay for the injuries, not the pharmaceutical industry. And this is insane. You think about this multi-billion dollar industry. When it hurts people, now the taxpayers pay in court. And so they built this pseudo court and they created a system. But in that system, the Congress recognized that there's a danger to taking liability away from a product that's injected into babies and innocent children. And so somebody is going to have to be responsible for the safety. Since this product is under so many lawsuits, someone is going to have to make it a better product. Someone's going to have to make it evolve since it's problematic in its current state. And so our Congress and Ronald Reagan put Health and Human Services, that's the mothership of our health department, HHS, as we refer to it, oversees the CDC, the FDA, the HRSA, and the National Institute of Health, the NIH. So they're the mothership, of, I call it, of our health department. Congress said Health and Human Services is going to be the ones responsible for making this product safer, to have less injuries so less people can sue. And we are going to mandate in this law that took away liability that every 2 years, Health and Human Services is going to have to report to the Congress and explain to us how we've made vaccines safer, what vaccine, you know, how we, what changes we're making, what type of surveillance we're doing, how we are going to set about having less adverse events, less adverse reactions, less deaths, less seizures, less brain swelling, all of those things. And so we, my nonprofit, I brought in Bobby Kennedy Jr., who is, who, by the way, just won one of the biggest cases of all times, I think it was 3 days ago against Monsanto, proving that, that the, that glyphosate, which is Roundup, is causing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in everyone that touches it. They, that case just paid out, I think, $289 million to one person, and there's another hundreds and thousands of cases behind it. So Bobby Kennedy, who was at the forefront of that, was the lawyer on my case when we sued Health and Human Services, and what we said was, we want you to show us all of the meeting notes and all of those meetings with Congress that you've been doing since 1987, since this law passed, to make vaccines safer. We want to see what recommendations you made. They refused giving us that information, by the way, in a Freedom of Information Act request for over 8 months. So it took us going to court. And so Bobby Kennedy represented us. We went in, and under that pressure, Health and Human Services said, fine, what do you want? We have never had that meeting. They said to us on the phone. And we said, really? So the mandated law for you to make vaccines safer and report to the Congress, you've never done it? Okay, so then if you don't want to finish this out in court, we simply want a court-ordered stipulation that you sign that says we have never had a single meeting. We have no information on making vaccines safer, and that's what they did. So we won that just about 3 weeks ago. It's a huge concession, and what it should say to the American people is now that the manufacturers aren't responsibility, they're not responsible for the safety of vaccines. And the only health agency that was put into being responsible for the safety of vaccines, they didn't do their job. People must now recognize you are on your own. These vaccines have exploded. Once we took liability away, we went from 10 vaccines per by the time you're 18 to now 72 vaccines by the time you're 18. It exploded. There's no liability. No one's accountable. The only government agency that's supposed to make them safer has not done their job. And so that's the biggest news I think I had to report, that we actually won a case against the U.S. government. And I think for people that want to say, oh, those anti-vaxxers, they just make up these stories and they're in some sort of crazy fascination. Well, then how did we just win a lawsuit against the government of the United States? What is it that we know that the people don't? I'm telling you, as a journalist that worked as a medical journalist on the daytime talk show, The Doctors, for 6 years, I won an Emmy Award. I would not be here. I wouldn't be talking to you. I wouldn't be on this issue unless I could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt what I'm saying is true. Vaccines have never been proven to be safe. And we now have more and more science from all over the world saying not only is it dangerous and can cause autoimmune disease, there are now plenty of studies with real animal models, real mice, real rats, real monkeys, proving that vaccines can and do cause autism. And that may freak people out. People say, Del, why do you get into autism? That, you know, that's such a hot button issue. I'll tell you why. Because we're at 1 in 36 children now being diagnosed with autism, up from 1 in 10,000 in the 70s and 80s when I was a kid. This is the great epidemic of our lifetime. It's a man-made epidemic, and if we don't stop it, it will not only be the end of one of the greatest nations in the world, because pharma is taking over nations all around the world, it will be the demise of multiple generations until we finally admit vaccines, though they might protect from measles, and I'm not saying they don't, but if you are more worried about measles, a 4 or 5 day rash and irritation, which is all it was for one out of, you know, for millions of people. If you want to trade that in for a 1 in 36 chance of having a neurological development disease that could leave you in diapers in adulthood and with no ability to get a job and no ability to take care of yourself, if that is a trade-off for you, go ahead and get those vaccines. But for the rest of us that are looking into this, I'm telling you, this system and this vaccine program is going to prove to be one of the greatest failures in mankind and history.
I want to be very clear on this point. A stipulation is now a matter of fact and law. It has been admitted that the supposed oversight agency was not doing any safety oversight. I want to be very, very clear about that point, because no one can now argue that from this point forward.
That's right. And, you know, there's some people that say, well, why did you settle with a stipulation? The truth, Matt, is that we have more lawsuits in the future. We're building to the big point, which is our government has absolutely put all of our children in jeopardy. But they will never be able to bring into a courtroom some background saying, well, we've been in charge of safety. Well, you've just admitted you weren't. And we have you signing on the dotted line right here. So that's now off the table. Health and Human Services can no longer ever, ever come into a courtroom and say, we reported to Congress and we were working to make vaccines safer and we did our job that was mandated by the 86 Act. We will be able to say in any future courtroom that Health and Human Services did not do what it was legally required by law to do. And that is our top health agency.
So, and it's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, in our day and age, when we have all of these kind of safety oversight things for workplaces and cars and everything else, the one thing that directly affects the youngest among us, our kids, the most vulnerable among us, our kids, and there doesn't seem to be really any oversight right now.
You know, Matt, I have such a mix of emotions over this. Number one, sure, we proved we were right, but do you realize how tragic and terrifying and dangerous and sad that is? That means that our government has been doing the bidding of one of the most powerful industries in the world, an industry that lies time and time again. How many times have we seen those lawyers on our, you know, on the commercial break saying, if you've been injured by Fen-Phen, if your husband died of Vioxx, if you blah, 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 call this number, right? An industry that lies and is sued and has paid out hundreds of billions of dollars for lying. Every one of these companies, Merck, Pfizer, Sanofi, Aventis, all of them who make our vaccines, they are being sued all the time and they lose. To have taken liability away from them so they couldn't be sued, and then have a government agency that was supposed to be doing the job instead, now admitting we've never done our job either. Do you realize how dangerous this vaccine program has become overnight? I mean, I knew it was bad when I started talking to William Thompson, the whistleblower from the CDC, and we were making the movie about, you know, his declarations that they were committing scientific fraud. I knew we had a problem. But to see that nobody in our government seems to care, and to see the skyrocketing injuries, Matt, I mean, and that's the thing. People will say, well, vaccines are why we're alive. They're the greatest invention of the 20th century, all of these things. And I say, I wouldn't be here if we didn't have some of the worst childhood health stats the world has ever seen. Every day I pick up a paper, and it just gets worse and worse. Here are the facts, as reported by CBS, NBC, CNN, you know, Washington Post, New York Times. We now have more babies dying on the first day of life in America than every other industrialized nation combined. Headline from about 2 months ago, you are 70% more likely to die as a child in America before adulthood than if you lived in the other 20 richest nations in the world, meaning we have more children die before they get to 18 than every other industrialized nation in the world. The worst stats we have, and it just came out last week, we have more mothers die giving birth than every other industrialized nation. I mean, people have to wrap their heads around this. When people tell me look, and I'm going to trust my doctor. My doctor knows best. Well, your doctor is a part of the worst and the most failing medical system in the richest nations in the world. I thought we were number one. When I worked on the doctor's television show, I thought we were the best of the best. And all I did was celebrate the best of the best, the best doctors, best science, best technology. I love medicine, Matt. I'm not anti-medicine. There are great miracles, and I've watched great doctors save people's lives. But when we are killing more mothers at birth, killing more babies on the first day of life, killing more children before 18, and have a statement that is now medical fact in America that this is the first generation that will not outlive to be as old as their parents. They're not, our kids right now are not expected to live as old as their own parents. So when people tell me under those circumstances, I'm going to trust my doctor. I'm going to say, I don't think your doctor is the same person we used to believe in. They are owned by a pharma system that is doing everything all wrong. And America is at the bottom of the list of health in all of the industrialized world. Under those circumstances, I think it's time to start asking some very serious questions. And those are what I'm dedicated to with my personal career as a journalist.
Well, let's hit this one thing head on. Where I have experienced this personally, talking to other legislators, and you know there are a small group of people, at least in Washington State's legislature, that are really passionate and care about this issue. But the problem is, we run into people that say, "I don't want you to hurt my kids. You must be one of those crazy anti-vaxxers. You're going to hurt my kids." I want you for a second, Dale, to talk to those folks because okay. It seems to be a loud voice right now.
It is, and it's a loud voice that they are repeating a marketing scam by the pharmaceutical industry. And that scam is a concept called herd immunity, okay? Herd immunity means if we vaccinate enough people, we'll protect everybody. We'll protect those that can't vaccinate, that are have cancer or whatever the case may be. Now, it used to be, Matt, that unvaccinated children, and they have been here since the beginning of time, since the smallpox vaccine came, since the polio vaccine came, even back then, there were always people that said, you know what, I would prefer to feed my child organic food and drink clean water as the way to build their immune system. They have always been here. It's sort of like, I mean, to not be crass about it, it's sort of like homosexuality. Homosexuality has been a constant percentage in our society throughout time. If you look at it, it's just under 10% somewhere. The same thing with not to really, it's a weird comparison, but people who don't believe in vaccines tend to be about 2-3% of society. So I want to make that point clear. That number has never changed. Even though they try to say there's all these people not vaccinating, the truth is 2-3% in every state. If you look at Washington, if you look at California, if you look at West Virginia or New York, you're going to find that across the state, it's roughly 2-3% of people don't vaccinate their kids. All right? It's never changed. It's a constant. So that's always been here. I want to make that point clear. So those people have always had one argument when they were going into schools and the school would say, we have a mandatory vaccine policy. Then they would say, well, that's true, but we also have an exemption. And my religious belief or my personal belief is that I don't think it's healthy to vaccinate my child. And they would say this. They would say, and if vaccines work, if you believe vaccines work, aren't all your vaccinated children protected against my child, whatever you think they may carry or have? And the school principals were stymied by that. They could never answer that question. And that response worked for over a century to just say, look, if your vaccines work, then why are you worried about my child? But that is something that pharma kept looking at, and they kept having their ad department say, how do we get around this argument that if our vaccines work, why should we worry about that unvaccinated child? And then they came up with herd immunity. They came up with this idea that, well, what if we make it about that immunosuppressed child that needs to be protected and that infant at home that can't get a vaccine? So that became this new ad campaign, and we've been hit with it and barraged with it for almost 10 years now, but really the last 5 years has become really intense. And I'm going to destroy it for you right now. All right, Matt? Want me to destroy herd immunity right now for all of your listeners? Here it goes.
Please do. Go ahead.
Here it comes. Herd immunity, as a medical point, let's talk about measles. measles vaccine, in order to achieve herd immunity, 95% of a population of a city, let's take Seattle, Washington, 95% of the people living in Seattle, Washington have to be up to date on their measles vaccine in order to achieve this dream of herd immunity. Okay? Now, all the politicians and all, like in California, where they passed SB 277 and took all rights away from parents, they try to make you believe that by vaccinating this 2 or 3% of the unvaccinated kids, we will somehow be stronger and we will get back to our herd immunity point. But here's what the point I want to make, and all of your listeners can think about this. And I did this in Mississippi. I was arguing this point in Mississippi. I had the health department there. There's about 150 people in the room. And I said, I want to point out that we all know that vaccines are not like getting the real disease. If you get measles, if you get the real virus like they did on the Brady Bunch when all the entire family got measles and they were laughing about how awesome it was because you got to stay home from school for 3 days, that's how tragic it was. It was a sitcom story back in the 1950s and 60s. But when everyone got, when you get measles, you're immune for life. When you get a measles vaccine, you're only immune for about 4 to maximum 10 years. So you have to keep getting that vaccine, okay? So achieving herd immunity is very difficult when you don't have lifelong immunity. When we first started giving vaccines, we believed they would last for life. But over time, we recognized, oh, they disappear after 4 to 10 years. So here's the problem. And I stood before the Mississippi legislator and the health department, and I said, I'm going to show you the CDC schedule. The CDC schedule has 2 more adult MMR vaccines, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccines, because they've worn off. As adults, we're all supposed to get that vaccine in order to be immune. And I said to the room, okay, under those circumstances, will you please raise your hand if you have gotten your adult measles vaccine, your adult booster, within the last 10 years? Out of 150 people in the room, you know how many people raised their hands, Matt? One little one. Old lady. One little old lady raised her hand. And by the way, she wasn't even the head of the health department that was sitting right in front of me. The head of the health department could not even raise her hand and say she's had her measles vaccine in the last 10 years, which means that that entire room, 99.9% of the people in that room, are not currently vaccinated. And that's true for all of America, Matt. This herd immunity, we are nowhere near. We've never had herd immunity. We will never get to herd immunity unless they force vaccinate every adult, because, and everyone sitting listening right now, I want you to ask yourself, have I had my measles vaccine in the last 10 years? No, I haven't. Oh, my God, he's right. That means we're not at 95%, which is how you achieve herd immunity. We're at about 53%. We are nowhere near it. And I'm not saying this because I think we should force vaccinate everybody. I want you to ask yourself, since we have never had herd immunity, where is this big tragic return of polio that we're being told we're supposed to be terrified of? Where is the return of smallpox that's supposed to sweep the nation if everybody's not at 95%? Where are the giant measles outbreaks where someone actually dies? No one is dying of measles, not even 125 people that got measles at Disneyland, which blew up our news for like weeks straight, 24 hours a day. These are all scare tactics, but the fact is this. There is no herd immunity. There can be no herd immunity without a forced adult vaccine program that marches every adult in to get their vaccinations every year. So what are we talking about? It's a lie. So now every politician and every doctor that tells you, well, it's because of herd immunity, you now know the logic and you know the science. And you ask yourself how you move forward with a doctor that just lied to you. How do you elect a politician that's lying to you? There's no such thing as herd immunity. We're nowhere near 95%. And unless you're one of those random adults that actually has had a measles vaccine in the last 10 years, you're the only person that's going to have to start asking all of your neighbors, hey, have you gotten your vaccine? Because you may live in a bubble where you think everyone's doing what you're doing. And we're not. We're not. Adults aren't vaccinated. We're not worried about it. We don't think we're going to die. We don't want to line up to get vaccines. So guess what? Herd immunity is a myth, and I just debunked it.
Let's get back to studies as well. There are more studies coming out in regards to not just comparing vaccinated to vaccinated populations, but vaccinated to unvaccinated populations. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect over the next year in regards to information that is going to prove the case that we have vaccines that are unsafe for our children right now?
Well, what you're touching on is one of the biggest requests that I call us the vaccine risk awareness movement. There are some of us that are totally against vaccines. There's others like me. I'm pro-science. If there were safe, healthy vaccines, I would be interested in looking at them. I'm not trying to wipe vaccines off the planet. What I'm telling you is, as a medical journalist, I've looked at every vaccine, and not one of them has been through proper safety testing, and so that's what I report on. But what we say is that it looks very clear. When we look at the injuries from vaccines, when we look at the 1980s, before we took liability away from the industry, there was about 10 vaccines being given to kids throughout their childhood. And our chronic illness rate, which includes autoimmune disease and neurological disorders, our chronic illness under that umbrella was about 12.8% of kids back in the 1980s had a chronic illness. Okay? Fast forward from 10 vaccines to now 56 vaccines and 72 doses, many different ways to look at it, a ton of vaccines. It's exploded. So now that we've exploded those vaccines, we have gone from 12.8% autoimmune and neurological disorders to now 54% of America's children have either a chronic illness or a neurological disorder. Now, if you have a kid, you're recognizing this. Your own kid may have asthma. Your kid may have ADD, ADHD. Your doctors may be saying, we need to put your child on drugs just so they can stare at a chalkboard. And you're thinking to yourself, why is that different? I mean, I was antsy, but I could get through the day. Why can't my kid focus? Why can't? Because they have a neurological disorder. That's a fact. More diabetes. I mean, all of these are neurological and autoimmune diseases. So when we say, when we look at this increase, they go coterminously together. As the vaccines increased, so did our chronic illness. Now one in four children is going to leave elementary school on a drug they're going to be on the rest of their lives. Do you remember that from your childhood? I mean, I have to always make a caveat that if you're under 40 years old now, this conversation is not going to make any sense to you. But for those of us over 40, we remember a different childhood, okay? So there's a new normal of illness amongst our kids. So in our movement, what we say is all we want the CDC to do is a vaccinated versus a completely unvaccinated population study. They're sitting on a database of 10 million people, and they have all the unvaccinated people in there too. We simply want you to chart, just like you do with every drug, with a placebo group that got inert placebo and those that got the drug, just chart them out and let's ask specific questions of those groups because we have all of their information. Who has the higher rate of cancer? Who has the higher rate of diabetes? Who has the higher rate of multiple sclerosis? Who has the higher rates of autism? Who has the higher rates of ADD, ADHD? Who has the higher rates of anaphylactic food allergies? That is a simple study, Matt, that our own CDC refuses to do. By the way, I went with Bobby Kennedy in a meeting with the National Institute of Health. All of the luminaries from the CDC, FDA, NIH were present at the table, and we told them, just do a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. They refuse. That should scare everybody. If you're so convinced that vaccines make children safer, why won't you just do the most obvious comparative study known to man? So you've touched on it. We've been demanding it. They're refusing it. But guess what? We now have a scientist out of Mississippi University, I'm not sure which university, but down in Mississippi, that did a vax versus unvax study. They looked at homeschoolers, and they looked at homeschoolers, I think it was about 680 children in this study, and they asked exactly those questions. Amongst the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, who has higher rates of all these issues? And you know what we found out? The vaccinated kids had 4.5 times the amount of autism, 5.7 times the amount of neurological disorders, 30 times the amount of allergic rhinitis. And the list went on and on and on, proving that vaccinated are actually less healthy than unvaccinated. Now, this is a small study. People argue that's only 680 kids, and I would say the same thing. But wouldn't you think after a study of 680, you've seen a signal now. We've seen a signal that it looks like vaccinated kids may actually be less healthy. Shouldn't the CDC now take those 10 million people and do the same study based on the fact that a smaller study is showing what we feared most? They still refuse to do it. So guess what? I think in the next year, there are several private institutions that we know of, and I'm not going to mention them because the wrath of the pharmaceutical industry will come down upon them. But they are doing these vax versus unvax studies. And when these results come out, I feel bad for all of the people that vaccinated their child because their doctor said it was safe and that it was the right thing to do. Because I know where this is going. I've seen the rat studies, the mouse studies. I've seen the demographic studies by real scientists all around the world. It's not going to be good, Matt. It's going to be really, really bad. And you know who else I feel really bad for? I feel really bad. I'm starting to have a lot of empathy for our pediatricians who have been put out there sort of like on the firing line by the American Academy of Pediatrics, who is funded by pharma. All these pharma institutions that keep telling pediatricians, you just tell your – we're not going to tell you how vaccines work because they don't know. Your pediatrician doesn't know how a vaccine works. They don't know what ingredients are in it. They've been left in the dark, and they've been told to just tell your patients they're safe and they're effective, and if they don't listen to you, you just kick them out of your practice. What is going to happen for all those pediatricians that I believe meant to do right, really did care about kids, and are going to find out, just like every farmer and everybody that with his Monsanto products just found out last week, you were killing children. You were destroying the lives of, you were causing autoimmune and neurological disorder in more than half of our children with this vaccine program. You were lied to, but guess what? You perpetuated that lie, and you forced children into this very dangerous system without any scientific proof it worked. Only lies that were put together by pharma. It's as if our pediatricians are pushing cigarettes on our kids. Remember when they said cigarettes were safe, cigarettes were healthy? You should be smoking while you're pregnant because it makes a baby smaller, which is a lot easier to deliver. These were literally commercials of the tobacco times. And you know who was paying for all the science? The tobacco industry. Guess who's paying for all the vaccine science? The pharmaceutical industry. There's a day of reckoning ahead of us, Matt, where it's gonna be really sad for guys like you and me to have to say I told you so, because the carnage and the pain and the agony of all the parents that admitted and went along with the system and all the doctors that pushed it, it's gonna be irreconcilable for them. But for those of us on the right side of history, Matt, I'm saying stand strong and speak your truth. Every parent that you get this information to, you just saved another life. You just saved them from one of the biggest lies we will have ever seen in mankind, and that is that vaccines are safe and effective.
So in the last 2 minutes that we have left, people are like, okay, I want to do something. I want to get involved. Where can they go? How can they get involved? And how can they help support you as well?
You can see all the work that I do. I have a weekly talk show on YouTube and Facebook called The High Wire with Del Bigtree. You can just type in at High Wire Talk in your search engine and you'll find us. Every Thursday we're putting up a show. You can find all of the 75 episodes we've done so far. We do one a week, interviewing scientists and presenting all the science. I've never done anything except present new science. Think about this. I'm not selling you a bumper sticker that vaccines aren't safe and effective. The other side is trying to sell you on one idea: vaccines are safe and effective. Trust us. I don't say trust us. I show you the science and the data every single day that I do my show. Also, you should join every local group. What's the group up in Washington? Because they changed. They're either Washington for Vaccine Freedom or Health Freedom. What's your group up there?
And I will post it online, but I just want to give a name, Jacqueline Gallion, because she's the one over here in Eastern Washington that is totally helping to put this together. So I will put it up online here on Facebook in a second on Patriot Radio.
Everyone needs to join those groups because I believe this is the biggest issue of our time. If you are a gun rights activist, a land activist, if you believe in your right to educate your child, all of these issues, I think, pale into when it comes to control of your body. If you don't control what's injected into your body or injected into the bodies of your children, then I don't believe there's a single freedom left to you. What were you going to defend? What were you fighting for? What did our founding fathers believe in? That your body was going to be owned by the state? So in Washington, you have great laws right now. You still have both of your exemptions, if I'm correct, both religious and philosophical exemptions. You need to join that health freedom group. I'm sorry, I don't know. I think it's
Informed Choice. Yeah, it's Informed Choice Washington, Jacqueline Guyon. Yeah.
Informed Choice Washington. Join that group because they are getting out and they're supporting politicians like you, Matt, that are standing up for the freedom and the rights of parents. And they're also aware of laws that are coming. The pharmaceutical industry is writing laws in every single state. They're the most powerful lobby in Washington. They're buying your politicians. You need to join that group and ask how I can help. When do I need to show up to the Capitol to make sure that I maintain the right to control my body and the bodies of my children? Matt, we could go on for days. In the end, it comes down to this. The pharmaceutical industry is a bad guy. We all know it. Don't forget, they make your childhood vaccines, and don't ever let your government. We will never always control our politicians. There's always the risk to have a bad politician in place. That's why our founding fathers said, don't ever give your government too much power. It's a necessary evil, but maintain the power yourself. We can never hand over things like our medical lives, the injections that go into our body, the foods that we eat can never be forced upon us by the government. Washington is standing in that. Matt, you're at the forefront of fighting for that and continuing that freedom in Washington. By the way, I might be moving up to Washington, so if you can find me a decent ranch or something, California's starting to scare the hell out of me.
Well, you are more than welcome up here, and we will talk afterwards. We can get you set up, no problem.
Right. And okay.
I look forward to it. Del Bigtree, producer of the movie Vax, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you, and keep up the fight.
You too, Matt. Thank you for having me, and God bless Washington. May you guys remain free.
All right. We are. I posted it up online. It's Informed Choice Washington. Join the group. May God bless all of you, and may you make this generation the greatest one.